in search for new land in the north. The Great Flood in 1789 was the first of several events that significantly affected those living in Alvdal. The smelting works at Strömshytte, which had provided work for many of the farmers, were taken by the flood and not rebuilt afterwards. At the same time, the mining industry entered into a phase of declining profit. Timber and dairy produce provided less cash income than previously and became low-profit commodities. Consequently, people became restless. Some were worried, and rumours began to stir in the villages. In harsh times as these, people start to look for other opportunities.
Jeg framande gein pilgrim, bara kvällstund, bara kvällstund är jag här. Stäng icke.
One such opportunity was to emigrate from Norway to America, and the emigration during the 19th and 20th centuries has been well documented. Many wanted to escape from the harsh conditions of life in the marginal areas of Norway, but some were simply eager to see the world. In Alvdal and Nord-Østerdalen, many people chose to leave, though some regarded northern Norway as a prosperous area in which to build a better life. We don't know if anyone from the Husan farm looked to the north, but local history reveals detailed descriptions of two families from the village of Alvdal. Ole Olsen had been working at Strömshytte, a nearby smelting works. Ole didn't own his own farm, but he had a small amount of saving nonetheless. He joined with Jon Simonsen from Tynset, and together they planned their journey to the north. This was not a random decision, however. Forester Nikolai Ram, who was a senior official and the village representative, had been to the north and had particularly recommended Bardu and Målselv to the south of Tromsø. So, one misty, overcast morning in the spring of 1791, Olsen and Simonsen set off on sledges together with their wives and children and as much equipment as they could carry. After several months of travelling, they finally arrived and built a small cottage of 12 square meters. This provided shelter for the two families during the first winter. They knew the first winter would be hard, but they hadn't imagined just how hard it would be. In the winter darkness, Jon's wife died, and there was only one thing to be done. Jon had to take his wife's body to be buried in Christian ground, some 40 kilometers and a boat journey away. Her body was placed on a sledge, and the children gazed after their mother as she left for her last journey. Jon struggled on through the deep snow, but was forced to give up halfway. Travelling any further proved impossible, and he was forced to abandon his deceased wife's body, buried in a snowdrift, until he could return the following spring and complete the journey. Life had to go on, and with determination and patience, the two families established a solid settlement. They were economical and constantly on the watch for ways to increase their prospects. For instance, they scattered sand on the snow for it to melt more quickly, so they could start hacking, shoveling and ploughing the soil as early in the year as possible. When their field had been prepared and sown, it was safeguarded with body and mind until the corn was harvested and securely stored. They were also ready to shoot any bears that threatened to run amok their herd of cows. They wove their own fabric for clothes and tanned and prepared leather for footwear. Homemade candles gave light in the dark season. Most of these skills had been acquired during their time in Nord-Østerdalen, and without this knowledge, they would have hardly stood a chance of surviving. Did they miss life in southeast Norway? We don't know. But perhaps memories of the flood and bad times helped to make sure they didn't look back. In fact, The two families paved way for another group of people from Nord-Østerdalen to follow in their footsteps, and local dialects from this southern region can still be heard in Bardu and Målselv today.